As we head toward Arizona's August primary elections, we're inviting in the candidates running in contested races to talk about why they're running and some of the key issues in their contests.
You know, it's been 24 years since Arizona has had an educator at the helm of the Department of Education.
I am a proud American Muslim woman.
That although our election system is the greatest in the world, it is still far from perfect.
We need more options for our young people, more counselors, more social workers.
Common Core's been repealed by the State Board of Ed, and now we have new standards.
And we know what's possible if we keep moving forward.
The current shortcomings of the office have left our system vulnerable to cyber attacks.
We're gonna fly, fight, and win on Election Day with your help.
Today, Jonathan Gelbart. He's running in the Republican primary for superintendent of public instruction against the incumbent Diane Douglas, as well as Bob Branch, Tracy Livingston, and Frank Riggs. Gelbart most recently worked for Basis Charter Schools, overseeing recent expansion. When he came to our studios recently, I asked him why he thinks he's the best candidate to win his party's nomination for this office.
Well, I have a background that's very different from all of my competitors, and I think that really makes me the most compelling candidate and the best candidate for this job. I'm a born and raised Arizonan. I went to our public schools in Northwest Phoenix. I worked my way from there to Stanford. I got my master's in engineering from there and then came back to Arizona to work for Basis Charter Schools, helped them open a number of their campuses. And so that combination of being able to get things done, having experience with the district schools and the charter schools is really unique.
I'm wondering about the Basis experience, because I can imagine that there would be some people, some potential voters who would say, wait a minute, do we want somebody who has worked for a charter school to be in charge of the state's district schools?
Mm-hmm. Right. I get that question fairly frequently, and I think it's a valid question. But the way I look at it, 85% of our kids go to district schools, and I am completely committed to working as hard as possible to make sure they are successful, to make sure every kid in Arizona has access to a truly excellent education. I'm not one of the people who say that charters are the magical solution to everything and every school should look like that.
Arizona's public schools have obviously been the focus of a lot of attention recently, especially with the teacher strike and the Red for Ed movement, the Invest in Ed movement. I'm wondering what you make of the fact that teachers walked out of the job and ultimately got some pay increase in the budget. Was it enough, do you think?
Right. Well, I think getting a 20% raise is a huge amount. I mean, think of West Virginia, that the teachers there walked out for over a week and ended up with a 5% raise. So 20% is pretty good in comparison to that. You know, obviously the Red for Ed movement has been building for a long time. Teachers have been toiling under poor working conditions and low pay for a long time. But I did not support the walkout because the 20 by 2020 plan had already been announced before the walkout began. And so I thought it would have been a better idea for them to let the legislative process play out and avoid potentially alienating the public, which I think they did for a certain percentage of the public anyway, potentially damaging support for future funding increases for education.
Do you believe, as the current superintendent, one of your primary opponents, Diane Douglas, does, that the teachers who walked out should be punished in some way?
No, I don't. I don't think there's any realistic way to do that. I don't think that's the best way, you know, the best thing for us to do right now. I'm looking forward to us putting this behind us and moving forward and building a strong future for education in Arizona.
The job of superintendent, as you well know, is in many ways sort of an administrative job. There's not a ton of policy being set, both between the governor's office and the legislature and the State Board of Education. So I'm wondering what kind of impact you would hope to make if you get through the primary and are elected to the position in November.
Right. There's a few things that I would have direct control over as state superintendent. Running the Department of Education is the biggest one. I think there's a lot of potential there to get the department running better, more efficiently, more effectively supporting our schools, especially rural schools that really depend on the Department of Ed. And so I've spent a lot of time looking into that, building a 100-day action plan that's very specific. It's on my website. But beyond that, I think the state superintendent can really play a big role in driving the conversation, bringing people together, promoting best practices, connecting schools who are maybe, you know, one school is doing a particular thing very well. You can connect that to someone else who might be struggling in that area. All this kind of informal connecting and laying out a vision for what's possible in Arizona.
Do you think that that's not happening now?
It's not. It's not. I mean, you look at other states around the country, their state departments of education are doing some really interesting things. A lot of states are focusing on competency-based education or student-centered education. There's kind of different ways you can call it, but these are programs that are designed to rethink what we're doing in our schools so that it's not based so much on seat time, how long a kid sits in the classroom, but what are they actually learning? And that's just one example of the types of things we could be doing, but we're not seeing any of that right now. It's really just stagnation and usually silence coming from the state superintendent's office.
Where do you stand on the Invest in Education initiative that they're looking through the petition signatures right now that supporters hope to put on the ballot that would be basically a tax increase on a particular segment of upper-income Arizonans?
Right. I think we absolutely need to get more funding to our schools, to our classrooms, to our teachers, but I do not support the Invest in Ed initiative. I think it's the wrong way to do it. I think this kind of tax the rich, you know, I support education as long as someone else pays for it. I think that's a bad precedent and would harm small business in Arizona.
Where do you think the extra money should come from?
Well, there's a bunch of different options we could look at, and this particular proposal didn't really have any input from the business community, and I think they're a crucial part of this, and so they need to be part of that conversation, and hopefully we have a better proposal on the ballot in 2020.
Do you think that there is enough money right now in state government to give schools and teachers what they need, or do you think that additional revenue is needed somewhere?
I think we do need additional revenue somewhere, because you know, you look at the amount of funding that's needed. We've got not only teacher pay and not only building maintenance and school buses and curriculum, but special education is a big one that is not being fully funded right now. And since schools are federally mandated to serve students with special education or special needs, they basically are coming out of pocket to serve those kids and not being fully reimbursed for those services by the state. And that's a big drain on their budgets. And that's just one example of the large need we have.
What do you think the state should be doing to try to close the teacher shortage? Are there things that the state can and should be doing to try to close that gap that it's not doing now, do you think?
That's a really difficult issue. And it's really the biggest issue we have in education right now. And it's not something that I think the state can necessarily solve on its own, but there's a few things that we could be doing. The way I see it, our teacher shortage is due to two major things. One is low pay, and the other is working conditions. And we've made great steps toward addressing the low pay issue with the 20 by 2020 plan. But on the working conditions side, that's where I think we can focus and make the teaching profession more attractive to people considering going into that. Right now you have a lot of issues with behavior problems, severe discipline problems in the classroom that teachers tell me that they often don't feel supported by their own school administration when they try to take a hard line with school discipline. So those types of things I think we really need to take a look at. In addition to the discipline issue, you also sometimes have even academic issues where teachers want to make sure that they are holding all their students in the classroom to a high standard, but then they sometimes get pushback from the administration saying, oh, you can't give this many bad grades because it'll affect our school letter grade. And that just feeds into the feeling among teachers that they don't have autonomy, they don't have the freedom to teach, they are just cogs in a system. And I think if we push back on that and let them be free to teach and have more autonomy, that would make the entire teaching profession more attractive.
All right, that's Jonathan Gelbart, a candidate in the Republican primary for superintendent of public instruction. Jonathan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.